And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Seipch. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. And I'm here with my partners, Jeremy Broen.
You know it.
At DFF underscore Madman and Shane Manila.
Hey guys, how's it going?
At DFF underscore Shane. So, hey, before we get started, didn't like a big thing happen with the website this week?
Yeah, we've moved behind a paywall. Pretty good deal. Pretty great deal, if you ask me. We're taping the day after Father's Day. So if you're a father, or if you know a father, if you have a father, if you'd like to be a father, or even if you're a woman, I don't really care. Go hit up the site. It's $29.99 right now for your membership. Plus, you get the IDP and the regular offensive rookie guides that we did. Or, you know, you could go $4.99 a month, or you could go $19.99 a year and not get the guides. But I think the best bet's to go ahead and become a member for a year and get those guides. I haven't gotten really much pushback on it yet, but, you know, we've been providing free content for a little over 3 years now. Some of the other websites, you know, that are already behind paywalls and have been for some time, a lot of our ex-writers are there, and, you know, more power to them. But I just look at it this as a way. All we're trying to do as a site is retain our writers, pay our writers, and pour the money, any monies that we make back into the site to make it better for the readers. And like I said, it's a great deal right now, that $29.99 deal, or $19.99. If you don't feel like getting the guides either way, I mean, it's a good price point.
If you don't want the guides, it's only $19.99.
Yeah, if you don't want the rookie guides and, you know, the IDP and the regular rookie guides, you don't want that. And then just get the regular $19.99 for a year. Still a great deal.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, DFF has like the best dynasty content, I think, out there, certainly among the best. So we may as well be behind the paywall like all the other sites are. Some great content every day. I like it.
I love it. So come check it out. Come become a member and let them know that Shane referred you. I don't particularly get anything for it, but, you know, just tell someone. Literally just tweet out Shane referred.
I mean, if you just talk about him, he'll like you.
So I was going to say, but his name, man. It feels better. Didn't we all refer him? Didn't this whole show just refer them?
All right, fine. Then the show referred them. Whatever. That's fine. That's fine, too.
I'm just kidding.
Use the code DFF underscore Shane.
Don't use that because nothing will happen. But it'll probably log you off the site, to be honest with you.
That's pretty funny. So let's go on.
We got big football news.
I was just going to say, and you just stepped on me. I was going to say, let's go on to real news. However, we have to say that it's brought to you by rotoassurance.com. Put in the code DynastyTradesHQ, all in caps, and get your discount. But yes, we have real NFL news. Go ahead. So
real NFL news. I don't even know where to start because it's just jammed packed with just big news, man. Big news. We've got Michael Roberts. He was traded to the Patriots. So, you know, it's interesting to see what he can do in New England. Oh, wait, I got breaking news. That trade was actually voided. Michael Roberts did not pass the physical. So that's unfortunate because I really thought he could have done things in New England. But, you know, maybe in Detroit, maybe it'll work out for him.
Dude, everybody in New England is hoping one of the tight ends breaks out because everyone's in Dynasty Football is trying to chase Patriot tight ends. It's so funny to watch the waiver wire. I've done it myself, too, just to see if, you know, see if I can capture lightning in the bottle or something with these guys, the rookie and Roberts, and then he gets traded. I mean, he fails his physical and gets moved and picked up by Green Bay instead. It's just kind of funny to see people picking up all those Patriots tight ends.
Well, Jeremy just skipped over one of the breaking news stories. Michael Roberts has been cut by Detroit. And I got more breaking news. Michael Roberts has been signed by Green Bay.
So in the period of like 2 minutes.
That's called efficiency right there, guys.
He had a busy couple days, man. All for basically nothing, though. I mean, the guy, you know, look, if he couldn't do it last year with really no competition at the tight end position, it's just not going to happen with Jimmy Graham and Jace Sternberger in his way.
Yeah, it's funny. Michael Roberts was picked up and all the leagues were – he wasn't on anybody's roster. I know even Jeremy and I talked about it in one of those leagues that HQ is in. But, yeah, so in the period of like 2 minutes of our show, he went through three teams too. So I know there was another story that made you giggle like a little boy.
Yeah, this is pretty funny. So Jimmy Garoppolo was talking about Dante Pettis today, and this is per Roto World, and he said Dante's body is maturing. I find that an odd way to describe another adult male or adult female, to be honest with you.
So are
you
talking puberty or what's going on here?
Yeah, I thought Dante Pettis was in his 20s, but apparently he's 13. And yeah,
those are the legitimate words. He just said his body is maturing, not his game is maturing. The way he plays.
There was words after that, but that's all I read. I was like, are you kidding me? That's how you lead with that? There was something about he's coming out of his breaks faster. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah, basically, they're really keen on the way he's playing ball right now. They say he's made a tremendous improvement since he started last season, his rookie season. So, I mean, yeah, it's a funny way that they, a weird way to describe it, but I have high hopes for him still. I know a lot of people in the Dynasty community were down on Pettis, and I haven't really moved the needle on him at all. I think he's going to be fine there. We'll see. I mean, now I'm glad he's maturing. I'm glad he's able to grow a beard and shave now, because that'll just make him look, look the part.
Who do you guys like over there in San Francisco? Anybody?
All of them.
Wide receiver wise?
Yeah.
I think
I like Debo.
I think they're both wide receiver three type players. I don't see one being particularly that much better than the other. And they both, their games are fairly different, so they can complement each other. But if gun to my head, we're going to murder you right now. If you don't choose one, I'm going to take Dante Pettis.
Yeah, everybody has such high hopes for Jimmy Garoppolo, so I was just wondering what... I mean, I know everybody loves George Kittle, but I was just wondering wide receiver-wise who you like over there. I know we had another story about someone officially retiring that a lot of us thought had already retired.
No, I think just you.
No, Jeremy said he thought he'd retired too.
Oh, no, yes. Josh McCown is retired. After, I think, 16 years or 16 teams in the NFL, I forget. 17 seasons. Yeah. I mean, wow. That dude was, I tell you what, every time he ever got a start, he was just a plug and play, though, man. I loved having him on my bench, just in super flex leagues. Cause you get one or two starts out of him a season. But yeah, he gone, and he's going to be joining ESPN apparently.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep.
So we'll still see his smiling face on ESPN, and he's a good guy, man. He was always willing to help players, and I think he'll do a good job on there. We've seen some bad ex-player analysts over the past few years. I hope he's not one of them, because I like him.
And I'll tell you what, man, he's got some physical ability. There was that I think it was on Twitter last year where it was that video of him dunking. So look that up. Just type in Twitter, Josh McCown dunk. It'll probably pop up.
Plus that box. Fight that when he beat the crap out of Rocky's friend, that was awesome.
Oh, Apollo Creed.
Yeah, he destroyed Apollo Creed back then. He does look a lot like Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, I didn't know what you were talking about.
I think I must break you.
Well, the last story we had is for a hot running back rookie that everybody's grabbing in those top three picks of rookie drafts with Miles Sanders.
Yeah, so Miles Sanders, if he practiced at all, I don't remember it, but basically he missed all the OTAs, the rookie mini camps, and the last mandatory camp, whatever that is. He didn't practice once. He was off to the side the entire time. So if I guess someone in your league feels like he's blocked anyway with the Jordan Howard, Wendell Smallwood, and the other refuse in the Eagles' backfield, maybe send out an offer, see if maybe this will scare them a little more. Like, look, he's going to start buried in camp. Like, he might be the running back seven.
Did you do that? Have you sent out offers for him because of this?
No, not today.
But you will by the end of the show. Speaking of drafts and all that kind of stuff, it looks like we have a guest coming on tonight. We have John Bosch coming on, but we are actually on the clock in the HQ2 Listener League.
What?
Nice. Let's do it.
You want to make our pick before John comes on the show?
Yeah, I don't think he wants to hear us make the pick.
No, but I'm saying we got a few minutes. Of course not. I'm just saying, do you want to do it for our great listeners that are listening that are in this league? They'll hear us have this conversation, which we keep having every time we get on the clock.
Let's do it. So on the board, there is, just looking in order of ADP, we've got a couple good options here. Devontae Freeman, Sammy Watkins, Philip Lindsay, Tariq Hunter, Hunter Henry. I don't really like any of these guys so far at this spot. I do like Mike Williams.
Well, so far in this league.
N'Keal Harry.
So far in this league, we have two quarterbacks, two running backs, and two wide receivers.
We are just pretty stationary here. We are just rigid. We're like, I need to know one of these. Give me one of them. But if I had my druthers,
back-to-back picks,
I would go Mike Williams and then N'Keal Harry.
Oh, that's right. We have back-to-back. Now, back-to-back. In this league, isn't it? It's also a tight end premium, right? There's still some good tight ends left.
Probably.
What do you mean you don't know?
I have no idea. I didn't look at the score.
This is the listener league for listeners.
I got to count on you and Jeremy for some stuff. You know,
yes, it's a tight end premium 1.25. So it's a 0.25 premium. So
all right, and it's not a 16 team league. It's a 14 team league,
right?
And I think we draft again.
We draft again next. We have two,
seven picks after that.
So we have back to back, and then what?
Yeah, after these two.
So we have back to back, and then seven picks. So we can do something. All right. So what was your suggestion?
I like the Mike Williams or N'Keal Harry.
Well, we have two picks.
We have back to back, so definitely Harry. I think we should grab him, and not that he's going to necessarily be great in season one or anything, but just I think that's a guy that we're not going to get next, you know, in seven picks probably.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, in the, what are we in, the sixth round? Middle of the sixth, back of the sixth.
Yeah, we're at the end of the sixth, yeah.
You know, my skills with math. So that means this is at least 137th player off the board where we're getting him. So that's really good. That's a good draft pick.
That's not even close. It's number 79. Okay. But tight end?
Just a lot of talent right there. After Harry and Hawkinson and Williams,
That's what I was going to say. Tight ends wise, there's Hawkinson, Njoku, and Ebron. Those three tight ends are there.
I think I like Henry, man. Henry, even in a part-time role, scored 10 points a game in his the two seasons that he played without tearing his knee up. So whichever seasons those were. So not last season, the seasons prior. And that was with like 60% snap share. So with Antonio Gates gone, I'm assuming Henry's snap share should go up, and he might see some of those end zone targets.
So you want to take a tight end and a wide receiver?
Well, we've already drafted N'Keal Harry.
Oh, you did it already?
Because we did agree on that. So, I want to keep the radio moving. Are we agreeing on Hunter Henry?
I'm fine with a tight end.
That's not the same.
No, I know. I'm looking at. We said Hawkinson, Njoku, and Ebron. Yeah, I mean, out of those three, I guess Henry and.
All right. So let me tell you this about a Njoku. So he saw a slight decrease when Freddie Kitchens took over. Prior to Freddie Kitchens, taking over the head coaching duties. Or excuse me, the offensive coordinator duties last year. Duties.
Oh my God.
Njoku was on pace for 104 targets. But his full season pace with Kitchens calling the plays in those eight games would have been 74. So his targets dropped as well as his target share. His target share also dropped by 2.8%.
So
that's my only concern, and that's prior to Odell Beckham Jr. getting there, who is going to be a target vacuum.
He's not. I mean, Njoku's not up there for me with even Hunter Henry, Ebron, and some of those, because I just don't ever see him being a league winner kind of tight end, or you know what I mean?
Right.
I love him, but I just in that offense, just in general, as athletic as he is, I just wouldn't put him up here with those sort of league winning tight ends that potential for you.
More upside than Hawkinson or Henry?
I'd go Henry, I think, over those two, but whatever you guys want to do, I'm fine with it.
I would go Henry over the rookie as well, but then there's also the Sammy Watkins, Mike Williams, because when you said we pick in seven, we don't actually. We pick in 10.
Exactly. So math is hard.
I know. So what I'm saying to you is we just took a rookie wide receiver that there is still no guarantee that he's even going to beat anything at all. Do we want to take another wide receiver before we take a tight end? Because I know everybody loves N'Keal Harry, but he's still a rookie, and we already did that with the last pick. We took David Montgomery, which is still a rookie. So, yes, I mean,
they are still rookies.
Do we want to get a...
Hunter Henry's not a rookie.
No, I know he's not, but what I'm saying is we don't pick again for 10, so the likes of Mike Williams and Sammy Watkins, they're not going to be there in 10 picks from now.
Tyler Lockett, all
so I'm wondering, do we... Right, I'm wondering, do we take a wide receiver and then just wait on the tight end?
I want Nasty Mike.
Mike Williams?
I gave him that nickname, yes.
What do you think, Jeremy? Because I think, especially with tight ends, we could get a tight end, but in these next 10 picks, you know those other wide receivers are going to go.
Any of those wide receivers over Sammy Watkins is my only point.
Okay, so then whatever. Mike Williams. I think that's what we should do and then get the tight end later. Because really, back-to-back-to-back rookies, I don't want those. Yeah.
And just if you're curious, T-Will left behind, that's Tyrell Williams. He left behind 65 targets from last year.
Yeah.
So Mike Williams, you know, even obviously he's going to see a regression in targets, or excuse me, in touchdowns, just because 10 touchdowns on the amount of touches he had last year isn't really sustainable. But I'm thinking there should be some positive regression with the targets, so we selected Mike Williams.
Cool. And that's what we ended up doing so far with this league. Every time we're on the clock, we talk about something, and then we talk it out with the other perspectives, and then we pick a player. So that was pretty cool. So why don't we get ready here for John Bosch, and let's hear from the Scouting Academy.
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for a limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com.
So yeah, Scouting Academy. So learn to scout like a pro. Jump on the site. Remember, you got to be a member first. So subscribe, then jump on the site and save yourself $50 off the Scouting Academy's next class.
$50 for all of you out there using appropriate English.
All right, now I'm excited by this.
And then you can
buy our next guest.
Our first guest.
The one that's here?
But wait.
We didn't have a first guest. I'm sorry. So you can only guest.
But you can actually use that $50 you save to put some money in some of these eliminators that our guest John Bosch is running. Right, John?
See, you five of them, won't it?
Yeah, that'll get you five of them. You could take on the Dynasty Trades HQ pod as a group. You could try and eliminate Shane individually. I highly recommend that. We like Jeremy and Mike, so, you know.
I completely forgot about that. Wait, do I have my own eliminator?
Yeah, you have your own eliminator.
I am doing that. Everybody out there, the one to join is Shane's, and then when that gets full, all you guys trying to beat him, then do the HQ, because I think you and me, we might be involved in that one this year, right, Mike?
Yeah, we are.
And maybe draft that team a little bit this time?
I was going to say they should join us first, then join Shane.
Yeah, it's really – I'm sorry. We should promote that better because I haven't tweeted it out once, I don't think.
No, that's why I was going to
– Well, how about this?
I did join Tyler Gunther's, and I joined Nick Whalen's. to play those gentlemen. But I do have an announcement for mine since I have my own eliminator, apparently.
Which you just figured out.
No, just remembered. Anyone that joins is going to get the DFF fantasy guide. So if there's 10 people, well, 9 of them will get it because I already have it, that we're currently working on that's going to drop in the middle of July. So everyone that joins, you're going to get a free DFF fantasy guide. So
16
that's cool.
People join them, right?
Isn't it? Yeah, I was just going to say, you just said 10.
Teams and there's one 17? Team.
All right. Yeah. Well, then all those people. Look, I don't know how many
Shane
guys.
Shane should be easy to beat. He's clearly read up on the rules.
He's very easy to beat.
Suck is people are just going to randomly DM me like, hey, I joined. And I'll be like, all right, here you go.
Wait a second. Hold on.
So the way they should act, I have a pinned tweet on my Twitter. That's the easiest way. There's a link in my pinned tweet. Yep. Go to that, scroll down, and find Shane in the drop-down menu, or Dynasty Trades HQ, or one of the other 50 eliminators that are still open for business.
That's pretty awesome. John, I know we jumped right into all this kind of stuff. So why don't you tell everybody who you are, where they can find you, what's going on? And like you said, promoting the Eliminators. That's awesome.
Yeah. So when you go to look for that pinned tweet of mine, you'll have to go to @JohnBoschFF. That is basically where you can find everything I do. I don't get involved in the Instagram or Facebook or anything like that anymore. It's pretty much just Twitter for me all the time now. As for things that I do, you can find me on Dynasty Game Night, which I believe you guys have all been on.
Woohoo!
And you can also find me on Dynasty Wall Street. Dynasty Game Night is on the DLF family of podcast feed, and Dynasty Wall Street is on the Dynasty Trade Calculator podcast feed.
I feel like you sold yourself a little short, because also in your biography, you're a dabbler. Your life goal is to live in a van and watch Red Zone at your league mates' houses around the world, which I think is great.
What? Yeah,
so. That is my dream scenario.
A van down by the river now.
Live in a van, drive around, and the only time that I have to like do anything that's by a schedule is finding some league mate close by that has Red Zone for me to watch on Sundays.
There you go.
That's pretty cool.
At this point now I can stream it on my phone though, so I don't even have to do that. I just have to be in service range.
Wait, you'd miss all the episodes of The Good Place, though.
There's only one season left, Mike.
I know.
Dream's not coming true until my kids are grown and gone and stuff anyway. So.
That's pretty funny. Shane, you were about to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, John's he's one of those innovators, those innovating GMs that are GMs. Jesus Christ, the commissioners. I don't know what the fuck's going on tonight. I don't even know how many people are in the Eliminators. Anyway, so John's famous for coming up with amazing leagues. I'm actually in one of John's leagues, but now compared to some of his newer leagues, it just feels kind of plain Jane. I mean, all the league that I'm in of John's, all it is like 16 different components. You know, like season-long DFS, Dynasty, then Dynasty Bankroll, and Auction, and Best Ball. I think that's it, right? And a Yahoo.
There are six components, but that's okay.
Six components, right.
And the one I'm waiting for with John, I'm in. We've been in, God, it's been months since we started. It was the good
that group so long ago.
And the name is from The Good Place, too. Yeah, but you said we're not even starting that till August. Is that the deal?
I like that.
Well, it's a salary cap startup, so, I mean, for salary cap, my opinion is wait until as close as you can.
Yeah.
Until, you need the most information. It's bad when you screw up your roster in Dynasty. Redraft, whatever. You screw up, you just move on to the next year.
Right.
Salary cap, you screw up the beginning, you could be looking at 3 or 4 years where you're just dead. So,
dude, that's a great point. I didn't think of it that way before when that, knowing that was a wrinkle in that league. It does make sense to have as much information as possible, and I've been in that situation before. The thing with and John's coming back on the show. I don't know if we can say that now, but he's coming back on the show with Scott Fish and Ryan McDowell, and that episode is going to be dedicated to league settings, commissioning, all these sorts of things, like John's Fog of War and all these auction leagues. These
that's awesome.
Wacky settings that he has that are actually really cool. But I mean, you need a whole show to talk about all that stuff. But I like that you have that in August, because all of our Dynasty stuff is done. It's like the dog days of summer, August, and you're waiting, and it's already long enough before the season begins, and then you have to wait long because you don't have
any
leagues.
And then you end up getting in like 8, 9, 10 redraft leagues, and then about 4 weeks later, you're going, I kind of regret being in this many redraft leagues, but that's okay.
It is going to be fun to do that in August. I know in my home league, which is contracts and salaries and everything, we have our free agent draft next week, and everybody's been waiting since January to do our free agent draft, but it's an auction draft.
Future years, we'll have stuff scheduled constantly. It's just
exactly
that initial startup you just can't do 3 months before the season.
No it'll it's be fun brutal. But that's part of what we were going to talk about tonight with you on the show. We were going to talk about auction leagues and auction drafts, because most of the people that listen to the show, most of the people in Dynasty, they're all pretty much used to just doing the plain old snake draft. And a lot of people don't even have any experience with auction drafts or auction leagues. And there's so many different ways to do auction drafts. You can do them with salaries. You can do them with contracts. You can do them just as the auction and then getting your players. So we were going to talk about that with you tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited. I love auctions. I'm a huge proponent of them. That's my first question when somebody asks me about joining a league. My first question is always auction or draft. Mm-hmm. If the answer is draft, I mean, it's pretty much pretty much a no, as Jeremy can attest to.
Yes.
I wasn't going to bring that up, man.
But despite the fact of what I'm like, I love the group. I think the league's going to be fun. I'm just, draft just doesn't do it for me anymore.
It's funny, John, when I first started with DFF and they started all the DFF leagues, every one of them was a snake and I was just into it. But all I ever do is auctions. So I was like, come on, let's do auctions. And nobody wanted to do one. So we actually,
people are intimidated a little bit. Don't you guys think that? Yeah. I mean, not that they can't do it, but that they're just a little too anxious or worried about it. And once they do it, I think they would, if they tried it, they'd probably like it because you can go for all the players you love and get half of them. It's, that haven't done it, I think, are nervous to try.
Yeah, and 3 years later, we still have not got an auction contract league going with DFF. So what? Like I said, there's a lot of different ways to do it. What is your preferred way to do the auctions?
Preferred way for an auction, I prefer non-proxy. I think it's much more entertaining. I don't mind proxy. I mean, I will play in either. If I'm the commissioner that's setting it up, it's going to be non-proxy.
Why don't you explain to the audience what proxy and non-proxy is?
Yeah, eBay.
Yeah, that's a good point. They're two different things. So proxy is basically eBay style where you put in whatever bid you want, but you're only forced to go to that bid if somebody else bids you up. So say I want to buy Shane for $20, but he's currently sitting at $1 because it's a real value.
I was going to say $1 is the real value.
But let's say I plug in 20 on him and then Jeremy comes in and bids 3. What it'll do is it'll kick my bid up to 3 and it'll just keep kicking my bid up until somebody goes over top of 21. And that's fine. I mean, that is certainly one way to auction. I don't have a problem with it. The other way is non-proxy, where the bid you put in is the bid that you have to beat. Like, that's it. If I put 20 in on Shane, I have Shane for 20. Everybody can see that. Of course, then everybody knows they only have to go to 21 to beat my bid. So they're very different things. I mean, they're very different types of startups. There's different strategies to each kind. There's different advantages and disadvantages. They both have positives and negatives. I love the negative that is created in a non-proxy, which I think turns into a positive.
People, the drama when somebody bids a dollar more than you with 30 seconds left.
Yeah, sometimes there's some animosity there, and that can make for, as long as everybody's playing, you know, with the understanding that it's supposed to be fun and everything, that animosity usually isn't completely sincere. But it's definitely there a little bit, and everybody has fun with it. So that's the style I prefer. I like to do a fast clock. I like an 8-hour clock.
Yes. Yeah, 24 hours in some leagues. That's insane. Yeah.
24 I will never do again. I've done a couple like that, and that probably made sense when people would get home from work and sign onto their computer to check the auction. Now we all live looking at our hands going,
yeah,
okay, and then 15 minutes later, check again.
Yeah, exactly.
15 minutes later, check again. So, I mean, 8 hours to me is fine. Something in between there, you know, 12 hours, whatever, that's fine too. But something where even if you do get outbid, you can basically pop right back in there, and that guy's, you don't have to wait another 24 hours on a guy. Right. So that's a huge thing to me as the clock as well.
Yeah, part of the way we do it in some of the leagues that I've had those is, especially in the beginning, you have a longer clock, and then as the draft goes on, you lower the clock. Because once you get into those later players that people throw up on the board and nobody gives a crap about, and you have to wait all that time for it. So as the draft goes on, you start lowering the clock a little bit, you know. But what about the leagues itself? Like, do you like to do the auction drafts where the money that you bid on the player, that's the amount of money you have for your entire team, and then you have contracts and you have all that kind of stuff? Or do you like the auction drafts where it's just that money for the auction, and then once you have your team, the auction money goes away?
So I'll play in any, and I play in all of them. I like all formats of that. The bankroll is really fun. That was, you know, that's Scott Fish's baby. That's where you get your startup money. If you don't spend it, it sticks with you, and yeah, like it adds. You get money added to your bankroll. Every time there's an auction, everything you have is your auction budget. Whatever you spend obviously comes out. The next time, you know, the rookie auction starts, you get another deposit of your money coming in based on how you finish, stuff like that. I love bankroll leagues. They're a little bit of a bear to commish, but you can start.
Yeah, they are.
Like, if you've done it for like a year, you kind of figure out the ways to make it a little bit more manageable. God bless Scott for how he does it, because what he does with the pigs leagues is insane. I run some bankroll leagues that are much, much smaller scale, and they are fun. That's an extremely fun way to auction. My favorite is salary cap. I straight up love salary cap leagues now. I mean, it's just the levels of strategy in a salary cap league. You're not just bidding money on the players. You're bidding the money. You're bidding the years. Mm-hmm. There's so many variables that become way more important in a salary cap league that's my, if I could only pick one style of play, it would probably be salary cap, just because it's so much fun. It is hard. It is the hardest to commission.
It's hard. Yeah.
Of course, it's a pain in the neck, especially when you get away from just the like default MFL settings. Then you pretty much have to do like offline Google Sheet tracking and everything, which can be a bear, but it's totally worth it. Those are probably my preferred ways.
When our league decided to go over to Dynasty back 7 years ago, we had no idea about Dynasty, and we read a bunch of articles and did a lot of things. And that was the way we decided to do our league. We have contracts and we have salary caps and we have all this stuff. So we started off, I guess, if you're saying one of the hardest ways to do it, that's the way we started off. And 7 years later, I don't know any other way. To me now, it's very easy to do because that's the way we've done it for so long. But I find right, there's...
That is exactly what happened to me. Me and my brother and my best friend hit for years. I mean, we had played redraft forever with each other, and
right,
every year we're like, oh man, we want to start something where like we keep these players. Like,
yep.
I wasn't on Twitter at this time. I had never heard of any Dynasty site anywhere. Like,
right.
I mean, us
this
too.
Was like 5 years ago for me, I think we started this league. Finally, we were like, you know what? Let's do it. We got 8 people. It was the 3 of us and 5 others. And we were like, how do we want to do this? Did you guys ever play on CBS Sports?
Unfortunately, yes. That's where we started
too. Big, huge draft, that paper draft with the folder way out with the stickers. Okay, so we had one of those because that's what we had been playing on. We flipped it over and we started writing down the bylaws on that.
That's funny.
And I'm not joking. That was our initial set of bylaws. Was like we were just throwing ideas out, trying to figure out how to formulate this. And that's exactly what we did, Sipes. And we called it our Dynasty League.
Yeah.
And about, I think it was a year or two later is when I was like, oh, I need to join Twitter, this amazing resource where I can find all this fantasy football knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. So, true. It's so what it is.
And like everything is right there for me. And then I was like, oh, that's not a Dynasty League. That's a salary cap league.
Yeah.
Okay, well, now I'm going to try my hand at this Dynasty thing. And as Jeremy said, I've become a Dynasty dabbler.
It's a lot of fun, and I know a lot of people, they really are hesitant to do it, like we were talking about before.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of those leagues. A lot of people are just comfortable with their snake drafts, and they don't want to stick their feet in it. And once they do, though, it's just so much better. I like it so much better, especially like Jeremy said, especially in the startup. You can get the guys you want. You know, budget your money, figure out how much money you're willing to spend, and spend it on the guys that you want to get instead of waiting to see who gets picked right in front of you in a snake, you know?
And I don't care how long you've been doing this and how agnostic you can be about it or how you're just going to go by the stats and not your favorite players. Everybody wants to get some of their favorite players on their team.
Whether that's all
I do. Play for their hometown team or they're their favorite, you know, college players in the NFL. So it's like it combines, I think, the best of everything. And back to the proxy bidding, my favorite thing about it is because I don't have a ton of time to sit there and watch the bids. I mean, it's pretty time-consuming non-proxy, but it's efficient because, you know, you see somebody bid on a player and you go up to what you think your max is, and then you're like, well, nope, I'm not getting that player because somebody else clearly wants him more, and I move on to someone else. And I like kind of the efficiencies that creates for me, and it just I move off of a player much faster than I would going, you know, incrementally because you have no idea how long it's going to take to get your last dollar bid.
Some people hate that about non-proxy, but then I always follow that statement up with the following question. Well, when you put your non-proxy bid in, would you have bid that same amount as you would have in proxy? Or would you have put more in if it was a proxy bid? And everybody
I want to get there
said,
faster.
Well, of course I bid more with proxy, but I want to save money when I'm bidding non-proxy. Why would I go up higher? You go up higher because that way you can get the guy. You know if you're trying to get a deal on a player. So then people can't, like, you can't get upset if you get outbid late when you were about to get a deal. Like, if you wanted,
the guy. Yeah, that Shark Tank draft went like that for me. I got so many players. I mean, I got all kinds of rookies too. I managed my money, and it was like that non-proxy. And I just basically handled it like, you know, I'm gonna bid this much on this player, and I waited. I don't even know how it happened. I mean, I got so lucky. But I look at my roster, I'm like, this is insane. I had to cut players and trade players that I didn't want to trade because my team was so good. And it's because other people were willing to throw their money away, like you're saying, more or less. It's the best auction draft I think I've ever done. That was in a league with, like, I don't know how many people are in Shark Tank. Do you, Bosch?
That's Peter's league. Is that a triple copy or is that quadruple copy?
Oh, jeez.
It's IDP and quadruple, I think.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I think it is. I think it's 56 owners. Is that right? I mean, Peter did a great job with
it. It is quadrupled. Yeah, there's four copies of everyone. So, it's crazy.
There is one wrinkle.
Peter Gent for everyone out there. If you're looking for an IDP commissioner, hit up the _FF_German. Our German friend.
There is a wrinkle that happens in trading. You know, we're a trading show and we talk about trades. But when you put in contracts and salaries and players, trading value turns into a totally different situation, because you can end up trading somebody that in one league you in a million years would never trade this player for that player. But when you have to consider, well, this guy has 4 years left on his contract, this guy is one, this guy's contract is only $2, this guy's contract is $35. You know, there's so many different variables that come into play when you're doing the trades.
Yeah, with salary cap, I said it before that, I mean, you think we're bad for playing a game that is based on the livelihoods of other human beings. It gets even worse when you start playing salary cap, because then, I mean, you can't dehumanize people any further than when you don't even care about their name anymore. You care about their contract.
And yeah.
As sad as it is, I mean, somebody will put in the chat, you know, oh, Todd Gurley's on the block, and I'm like, okay, well, what's his contract? Like, you can't – I'm finally getting some of the leagues that I play in salary cap to include that as soon as they put that message in the chat, you know? Todd Gurley, 35/2, on the block. Like, just include that, because you know that's what everybody
that's
wants
to know.
That's
the first question, yeah.
Nobody cares about the name on its own. The name's important, but that other part is so important too, and you got to have those numbers with it. It's – we're terrible people. We're getting worse. If we're it does probably make it even worse, but
it really makes Twitter polls impossible to do.
You can't do
a Twitter poll, because
you can't do a super flex poll. You can't do a salary cap league poll.
No.
Nobody's reading that much.
Salary cap, you will literally see people just give a contract
exactly
away.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, just to clear the space, because that's a huge factor.
The one salary cap league we're all in together, I did that. Or I don't know if Mike sent it still. I just took on salary for random draft picks. Like, I didn't give a shit. It was literally like Shane gets a fourth and a player, and Shane gives up nothing. Nothing. Just because I could take the salary on. So, whatever.
I saw that. I was like, what the hell?
That's funny. Realize. You know, even in our home league, the first time that Greg, he just traded somebody away for nothing, and everybody's like, oh, what are they doing? Like, you think it's collusion or whatever, but then you look at it, he's like, no, I wanted to get rid of that 4-year $50 contract, you know. And then it eventually becomes the norm. It becomes something that people get used to in the league, and then you can't explain that to somebody that's not in a league like that.
Nope. And it's fun when you're in a league and you everybody kind of gets that, and then you can go shopping accordingly. You can target people based on that. You can see that somebody is right up against the cap. And guess what? That tight end that they have that they want to shop, and they're announcing that they're shopping. No, no, no. What they actually want to do is cut that player.
Yep.
But the cap hit is going to hurt them. So then you know, no, no, no. I'm not going to pay you that much. I'll just wait till you cut him. And then I'm going to go ahead and pick him up, because you're not going to pick him back up. So it gets a lot of fun.
It's important to denote that if you're playing in a salary cap league, you have to have penalties, because if you don't, then it doesn't matter. It's not a salary cap league.
Yeah, and it's funny too. If you're in a league with people, especially for a long time, like I'm in this league for 7 years now, there are still players – in that league that don't get it sometimes when somebody's like, hey, I'm willing to trade this guy. Well, no shit, he wants to get out of the contract. And then somebody sends him a trade. I'm like, well, why did you do that? He's going to cut the guy. You're going to get him for a cheaper contract, you know? But it's just a big learning curve for a lot of people that don't ever get to do it.
So before we move on from startups, Mike, you mentioned that this is a trade show, which, yeah, I guess that even when somebody's not screaming trade alert in my ears, I do understand this is a trade show. That's actually one thing that, like, a lot of people say that the draft has over an auction is, well, we can trade. We can trade during the startup.
Right.
And all I say is, well, that's pretty simple. Why can't you trade in the auction? Make your auction budget tradable.
Right.
Make your future auction budget tradable. Like, who says you can't trade what you're playing with in the auction?
But there's also less of a need to trade too, because you're able to buy whatever you want. You don't have to move around the board. So it's a moot point in a way. Sure, trade your dollars and maybe for players that were already picked, but less of a need to trade for sure.
But if you know somebody wants all those 2020 picks, all right, well, give me this amount of your startup budget and I'll give you my 2020 first, you know, like. Then
no
people
question.
Have to weigh, which is more important, my startup money, my 2020 pick money? Like, there's still plenty of ways to trade. So,
yeah,
I think
not,
that's a lazy out.
That's what I was going to say. If you're not trading in auction leagues, salary cap leagues, you're not trying, basically, because, there's a ton of things you can do to get money out of people. Like, you know, the Scott Fishbowl, not the Scott Fishbowl. Jesus.
You can't do that.
Pigs leagues. But, you know, you have the Devy auctions and you have the rookie auctions and all that stuff, free agency. I forget if they're even free agency at this point. My mind's just warped.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, you could trade future.
Every
you're
Wednesday,
like,
Shane. Every Wednesday. Waiver.
Do you want – it's like, how badly do you want this Devy guy? Or, you know, maybe you want to get a Devy guy for cheap and now it's the rookie draft and you're like, you know what? I'd much rather have Miles Sanders or, you know. So, yeah, if you're not trading in those leagues, you're literally just not trying. And maybe you should just do normal draft leagues.
You know, it's funny, John, we were talking last week in one of the startups that I'm in right now. I did 11 trades in the first like 8 rounds, and I just kept going up and going up and going up and then getting all these higher profile players. But what I explained to them was I actually did the draft in my mind as an auction draft, where I spent all my money on the good guys, and then later on I'll get my dollar players to fill in the rest of the roster.
That.
And that's how that's how I approach the snake draft as if it was an auction draft.
Love it. I'm a fairly aggressive auctioner. I am one of those people, the Jeremy, that will go and just I'll spend my money on the guys that I want. And
me too.
F the rest. I don't really care. I'll fill out my roster. What do I care? The only thing that I want to do is win.
Yep.
So I will come out extremely hard in an auction, and I will get the guys that I want. At least I will get them, or I will get them to the point where somebody else is really going to pay for them.
Price enforcer, are you?
Oh, I'm definitely a price enforcer.
I think you have to have that. Yeah.
I mean, but it's not like I'm not. See, I am a price enforcer. I don't want anybody getting anybody for cheap, but it's more. I'm never afraid to get a guy for a bid that I put in. Like, I don't bid on a guy if I don't think he's actually worth that price.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, granted, if I don't have money, once I'm out of money, I might be in the chat and be like, wow, that's that looks like a pretty good deal coming up here for Shane's player.
In those leagues, it's always like, it matters who you put out on the field on Sunday. The money doesn't matter on Sunday. It just matters your starting lineup that you put out there. But, you know, you do bring up something when you say a price enforcer. One of the big things that people end up arguing and fighting about, and I don't know how you three guys feel about it, but in these group chats that we're in during an auction, how do you guys feel about throwing shade and throwing stuff out in those group chats? Like, oh my God, Shane's about to get so-and-so for a dollar. This is ridiculous. You know, stuff like that.
So this is two different. It depends on the type of the league. It depends on the buy-in of the league and the group that you're playing with. We are all in a league that's a little bit of a higher buy-in. And I actually was the one that asked in that one, is this a no table talk kind of league? Cause I was kind of hoping that it was, cause that one, I mean, let's be honest. If there's a little bit more money on the line, I'm going to take it a little bit more seriously. And if I'm about to get a deal, I don't really want that burned.
Right.
If it's a little bit of a lower level league, money wise, and it's me and, you know, 13 other people that I wanted to play in a league with. You'll see that. I don't care. Whatever. I paid my 25, my 50 bucks. I want to have fun. Whatever. Table. I literally put it in my bylaws. Table talk is allowed. Like, because I'm not going to have any arguments about, hey, don't, you shouldn't have, you know, you can't go and say that about my player. That's so wrong. That's wrong. And, you know, hey, this is fun. And you know what? Guess what? Get them back or go and bid more. Bid more
if
money.
It's your buddies too, like your close friends, you know everybody. I feel like it's even more so, like anything goes. Like your home redraft league, I don't care what anybody does at that, at the draft party, during the drafts. If it were a dynasty league or an auction, the same thing would go, because I know all of them, and it just adds to the fun for me, because it's more like an old school draft party. But I mean, the higher the stakes. Now, I don't do it much, not in the chat, to try to screw someone that way. I kind of feel like it's dirty, a little bit dirty, so I don't engage in it. I don't know that I care
it's
if
really
other people do it.
It's really fun to do it to Shane. I promise.
Shane was the one I was just about to ask. How does he feel?
I'm all, look, everything goes to me. I mean, honestly, like I think it's funny because I'll act like I'm all pissed off if someone redlines me. I don't really give a fuck. The only thing, you know, there's been one or two times where someone
Shane definitely gets upset really hard for like 5 seconds.
We were doing a show once live when it happened, and he got upset.
Like, is that yarn over there? But also, I have terrible memory, so I just assume that everybody that redlined me is the same person. So whichever person's done it to me last, I'm like, you are my mortal enemy because you've done this to me every time. Meanwhile, they're like, I've never done this before. This is the first bid I've put in. I'm like, you know, I'm upbidding everything in sight.
He actually apologized to somebody on air because he said that exact thing. He thought it was the same guy.
People get so upset about it, but honestly, redlining, it's not a, if you're doing it as a strategy, like, it's not a great strategy.
No, I agree. It's not.
It's one thing if you're doing it because, okay, somebody's about to get a deal and you were really hoping somebody else would do the price enforcing, so then you have to come in late and take care of business. That's, you know, that's fine. If you're doing it because you, like, just want the revenge red line, I'll tell you, it's just bad strategy. If that's your plan, a revenge red line, you're going to end up with a team that you don't like as much as if you just ignore it.
Yeah,
I mean, agree. I'm
numb to it. I don't even notice anymore. Yeah. I don't care, you know, if I get redlined. I don't care if I get bid after I make a bid one minute. It doesn't matter. Like, you eventually do get numb after you do a bunch of them. I will say the first one I did, I definitely noticed it when it happened. It stings, but you really, if you're going to get upset about it and pissed off about it and tilt, that's going to set you as a mark, and you are going to have it done to you repeatedly. Because
I've done it though. Like, I don't get mad, like angry and furious or whatever, but I will say I was a little bit irritated in that Shark Tank draft that I saw who outbid me, redlined me on a player that I wanted, and every player that guy bid on in that draft, I went and bid a dollar more on every fucking player.
See,
and
it did, just...
and I was like, that'll show you, you son of a bitch, do that again.
But it doesn't really.
Who it was, they were probably like, oh, did I? Maybe I pissed that guy off at some point.
I mean, he bid on a lot of players, so like it was like, you know, a half a dozen, eight players. I mean, it was a big chunk of guys. Normally, I don't do it. I didn't, you know, make a habit of it, but I did bid that guy. I was like, and then I moved on, like Shane, because I was like,
how long ago was that? Because in the Pigs League, where someone bid me late on Kyler Murray, I immediately did that to him. I couldn't even tell you who the fucking guy is right now.
Exactly.
You know, I forgot like, who it was.
You know what I mean? Like, he could be in my living room right now, and I wouldn't know that was the guy I did it to.
You know, that's funny, because I was just going to ask John, when you said that about the first time, do you still have that memory of that happening? Because
I have no idea who it was, but yeah, I remember the feeling of, motherfucker, I was 10 minutes away from winning my quarterback, and of course, that, although like Pigs won, the quarterback carousel was, it's the reason that I now will pay up very quickly for 14 team super flex quarterbacks, or just take Eli Manning and Joe fucking Flacco and say, I don't care. I'll take these two garbage ones because I was so focused on trying to get a quarterback there, and it just kept spinning around and I could never get one to go through that it cost me a lot of other options. So because I was so focused on that. So yeah, I definitely remember it, and I remember getting close and remember getting outbid. I mean, it burned me. I learned a valuable lesson. That was my first auction.
Mine too. When we first did our startup, I have a clear, I know every single detail of what happened to me to that guy. And that guy, we're still in the same league together all these years later.
Who did it? I don't even know what player it was anymore. But the feeling I remember.
For me, I know it because it was my home league, and he's listening to this show right now, so I won't go into all the details, but he really screwed me. With like 30 seconds left, he bid on Adrian Peterson while I was on the phone with him. Like, I'm like, oh, sweet, I'm about to get Adrian Peterson and everything like that. I hang up and looking at the clock, and all of a sudden I'm like, where'd he go? And that guy bid whatever, but that was years ago. Remember that like so clear as day that he did it. But you know, I know Shane, you even said that we were live on the air when that guy was doing that, and you were getting so pissed. You were
was
like,
that pigs or was that something else?
I don't know.
See,
I don't
that's the problem. Like, that's like how angry could I've really been if I didn't? I can't even remember who the person is now. Well, so, you know what I mean?
That's the thing. I guess if that wasn't my home league, I probably wouldn't remember it anymore. But I just remember it because of the situations. But it is another factor that
your first, huh, Mike?
Yeah, exactly. It's also another fact of auction leagues and auction drafts, because that kind of stuff doesn't happen in a snake. Oh, you might get sniped. A guy picks a player right in front of you, but you don't hold a grudge. It's a snake, you know? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But in an
not
auction,
that it's your player when it's an auction and it's in red line, it's still not your player because the clock hasn't run out yet. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it is an auction. And there's a clock drafted for a reason, right?
John, I love your face. I wish people could saw your face.
We've been in so many drafts and so many leagues that, like, maybe we're just a little bit, what do you think, bored?
Drafts
and
yes,
all those sort of old settings. And that's 100%. What I wanted to ask you, Bosch. Like, if you were to set up a league, what are some of your favorite settings? If you had to give advice to someone, this is how you should set up your first auction league, or the best way that you would recommend someone to set up a new league, it doesn't have to be their first, what would be some of the choices you would make in the structure of that auction league? Teams, even, like, what would you do?
Oh, well, for me, a 14 team base is pretty much essential these days. Mm-hmm. For me, 12 team, I mean, it's super flex also, which when you do 14 team base, and by base, I mean, you could do 14, 28, you could, you know, whatever, a multiplier of 14. You could do a 56 team league like we did in Fog of War.
But minimum 14, yeah.
Yeah, so some type of multiple where it's basically a 14 team base league. If you go to 56, you got to have 4 copies, stuff like that. And then you make it super flex because that's just fun. 12 team super flex, you can find 24 pretty good quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Once you add those extra 4 quarterbacks, then you're really starting to look at the do I want this quarterback versus this wide receiver or running back? And when you start to have to weigh that decision in an auction, that's extremely important because you have to figure out how and where you're going to invest your assets. So for me, it's 14 team super flex. That's like the automatic start.
Mm-hmm.
As for other things, I mean, I can vary scoring. However, I switch my scoring system every year. Usually it's the same all year. You know, all the startups that I will do this year pretty much match the same scoring. I think they all match the eliminator scoring that I'll do for startups, except for the one that you guys are joining because we formed that forever ago. So I think that's closer to my 2018 scoring settings.
Well, we haven't done anything in that yet. You can always change it. We haven't drafted yet.
Yeah, nope. But, you know, people signed up for, you know, they signed up for this previous one. Whatever, you know. Basically, I like to have enough flexibility in the lineup to make it so that you have to make the decisions, but you're not forced to go any one way. You don't have to start this many wide receivers. You can start a running back instead. You could start a tight end instead. But in order to do that, you really have to work on trying to get the scoring to be somewhat equal or at least balanced. You know, you can never make tight ends no matter what you do with the premium. You're just never going to get there to the point where they are like the most valuable. All it does is make the higher tier tight ends be
higher
super
tier
valuable.
Yep.
And then the rest of them are still just the rest of the tight ends.
Yeah.
You know, so I try to balance the scoring as best as I can. What I do is I put in the scoring system into my fantasy league, and then I'll go and I'll look at like the top 150 players, and I'll look how many quarterbacks are in it, how many running backs are in it, how many wide receivers, how many tight ends. I definitely want to have like the top 28 quarterbacks in that range. Mm-hmm. And then the same with like the running backs and the wide receivers. I like to have an even number of those. Usually you're going to get about 40 to 50 of those. And then you might get like 20 tight ends, you know, something like that. If you can develop a scoring system that leads to that kind of balance, it's going to make people have to figure out how they want to set up their team, which is key for me. It is let owners do what they want. Most of my leagues are start 1 to 2 quarterbacks, 1 to 9. It's 1-1-1-1.
Yeah, you do 1-9-1-9-1-9.
And then it's a super flex plus like 5 regular flexes that you can do whatever you want. So I have experimented a little bit with like no limit, which is start 0 of a position, start all of a position.
Wow.
And I think I'm going to do one of those this year. Ooh, I'm going to try a no limit eliminator where, hey, it's going to be 17 teams in the league. How much are you willing to pay to try and start quarterbacks? Like at some point that price becomes so expensive that the return on it just isn't there. So I am kind of intrigued by that right now. The idea of you could just totally punt quarterback in a league where somebody else could be starting 4 quarterbacks. But if they pay all their budget for those 4 quarterbacks,
right,
you spend all your budget on running backs and tight ends, you know, like something along those lines I find really intriguing. So that'll probably be coming soon.
I don't know if you knew this, but the eliminators, you can actually start as many as you'd like at any position.
No, the quarterbacks are capped at 2.
Wait, what league? All right, well then I don't know.
He knows. He's the one in charge of them.
You're not required to start anything. So the eliminators are just a single season redraft. You know, the celebrity, air quotes heavy there, quotes. Where you know one celebrity plays for free on behalf of Fantasy Cares. So you know Shane's playing. You can 16 people will sign up, pay $10 to play against Shane and try and eliminate him. But the starting lineup requirements there are 0 to 2 for quarterbacks, 0 to 8 for every other position, and that includes defense and kickers. Because when you go to 16 roster spots for 17 teams, trust me, defenses and kickers, they come into play.
I tried that
in a couple of the eliminators I was in last year where I got freaky with it, where I was like, you know what? I'm going to draft, you know, I'm just going to do all defenses, all tight ends, or, you know, as much as I could, just to roll those out there. But
defenses don't get hurt.
They're a nice little
7th or 8th starter in the eliminators for a insulation. Lot of lineups.
I think I got down to like the last 5 or something in that eliminator. And part of it was because I had multiple defenses on it because I thought the same thing.
Yeah, they can't get hurt. You know, I stick them in there. That too. Yeah. Multiple kickers and multiple defenses so that I always had like some points coming in.
Exactly. That's
what I figured. Strategy, you know?
So, you know, this has been great. We could sit here and talk for hours about this. Shane and Jeremy, did you have any last-minute things about auction leagues that you wanted to talk about? And then, John, did you have any last-minute tips or things that you wanted to let people know about auction drafts before we wrap up tonight?
Well, I just wanted to summarize before we get on. John basically said that, you know, a good start for an auction league, if you wanted to try it, 14 teams, have flexible starting lineups, which contributes, like John said, to picking up players that, you know, you can have more tight ends than the next guy and the next person has more wide receivers and the next person has more running backs. You can still flex those in and then do balanced scoring so that you don't have any position that's crazily higher than another spot. And of course, the key is the auction draft. Do the auction draft and set it up that way. Any questions, you know, people know they can reach out to John or hit us up and we'll steer them the right way. That's all I wanted to add to that. I think that's good advice for people.
We should probably talk about nominations because there's a lot of different ways to do nominations in an auction. My preferred way is to give. So I originally started it as every owner is required to nominate one player per day. That's a pain in the ass on the commissioner.
Yeah, it is.
Because if you're going to put a rule in like that, you then also have to have a rule that says if you do not fulfill this requirement, you are going to be fined this amount of your budget. Again, pain in the ass in the commissioner. Has to go through and check all that. So the way I do it now is I say you may nominate up to one player per day. I like when the auction board builds. You know, day one, that gets – some people are going to try and keep the board tighter. because they want money being focused on a few players early on, which is understandable. That's a strategy to do. So usually you're going to have, you know, 12 nominations day one. Day two comes, those guys are still hanging around a lot of times, even with an 8-hour clock. Usually they're still kicking around. So you add, you know, 12 more, maybe 13 go up this time, and you're up to 25. It builds a little bit more. People still are a little tentative as everybody's trying to figure out the pricing. Then another 12 come in. Then all of a sudden, you know, as we get the 36 to 40, not 40 players on the board, it gets a little bit harder to manage. And I mean, eventually that board grows to, you know, 75 players, 100 players on it. At that point, then it is extremely important to be following the board. Jeremy, you said you can't check in constantly. That's a major detriment, because if you can't follow an auction board that has 75 players on it at once, if you can't follow that, honestly, probably at least every other hour, if not hourly, that's a huge disadvantage to you, because you have to be able to look at the board. And after you do it enough and you watch the bidding enough, you pick up bidding patterns of owners. Even more importantly, you can start to kind of predict what will happen when you make a bid, which is extremely important. When you know that, okay, if I go and I bid on this guy that has an hour and a half left, what's going to happen to everybody after him? And when you can start a series of dominoes and then have the moves happen that you predict would happen, once you start doing that, you're playing on a really good place. You're playing in the good place. you're right there. When you can start predicting what the moves are going to be in response to your bids, that allows you to make some moves in a really fun way.
But yeah.
How do you guys prefer the nominations to go? I mean, I know some leagues do. You can't nominate a guy until the guy you nominated goes off. To me, that's a lot of work on the commission.
Yeah, it is. I think that's too much work.
It's confusing for even the people nominating.
Like, they never remember.
Yeah. I got to go back and and just keep a track of that. And you're like, oh, wait a minute, I didn't nominate that guy. I was just the second one to bid on him, and I happened to win him. And then it's like, oh, we got to take this guy off the board. And I'm like, all right, good times.
We're getting fined auction money because you neglected to put your name next to the player when you nominated them, so the commissioner could track them. Brad Ziegler.
I think as a commissioner of auction drafts, for me, I always try to play it loose. Like, we have a set of rules. Mm-hmm. We say this is how you can do it. And then people do it. And then if it starts to get lax where, hey, there's open spots on the board and Joe Schmo's at work and he's not putting something up, just go ahead and put another guy up. And it seems to flow. As long as everybody's cool with it and everybody's having fun, we try to be a little bit more lax. We do it, like you say, where it's scaled, but not every day. We do it like every other day or every third day. Then we bump it up a little bit more. And then by the end of the draft, you've got like that full board, because it's all these players that are going up for a dollar that most people don't really care about.
My nominations usually increase too. Usually it's like day one through 10, it's max of one. Days 11 through 20, it's max of two. And then day 21, it's like
free for all.
Gates are open, put up whoever the hell you want. And that's when you see like 75 $1 players put up at 12-0 at 0. The clock goes 0-0-0-0-1, and then all of a sudden it's like bam, 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 bam. No, people can't nominate fast enough because everybody wants to get their dollar guy on the board, because they sure as hell don't want to pay $2 for that guy.
Yeah,
no.
You know, one last thing, like I was saying when we talked about this before we go, there is one thing that I like to do, and I wanted to ask your opinion on this. For me, doing this auctions, I've been doing this now for years, but I have an Excel spreadsheet that I put the players in with the numbers, and I move it around when I bid on somebody and I get a player. I see you shaking your head, you know, and I've been using this same spreadsheet for like 9 years now, because we did it in the Keeper League before that when we did auction. Do you do anything like that during your auctions? Do you keep a spreadsheet so you know how much money you have, how much you're spending it on players, is everything? Or do you just fly on the seat of your pants?
So we'll go back to the pigs. My first auction. Oh, I'm so ready. I've got a spreadsheet. I've got, you know what? I want to spend this much on this player, this much on this player. I'm going to spend this much at this position. The spreadsheet is so beautiful. It's so automated where I can put in what the guy actually goes for. And it's going to tell me exactly what the rest of these copies of these players should go for. It's going to be beautiful. 3 days in, I could have basically just burned that to the ground.
Exactly.
So I wasted so much time preparing that spreadsheet that I've never done another one since.
Oh, really?
So, yep, I do not do any kind of spreadsheet anymore. God bless those that do. I mean, I have seen some extremely impressive ones. But I've also played in so many auctions now that I feel pretty comfortable flying by the seat of my pants. I don't think it is anymore, because at this point now, it's just, I just rely on my auction experience.
Sure.
To the point where I can kind of see what's happening, and I can, I am the person that, I don't even, like, when I have an auction going on, I just keep the tab open on my phone. Like, I never swipe that one to the side, and I never close it. It's just always there. I can hit that the little button in the bottom right hand and see all my auctions all at once. It's great. So I don't ever really set anything up anymore. One thing that I found that happened to me was I missed out on a couple of guys. Mm-hmm. If you say I am only going to spend 23% on this player, and then he goes to for 23.1%. Well, like, you can't be that rigid.
Right.
So I agree. That's what I was going to say.
You got to be flexible with it.
The draft is dynamic. The auction's dynamic. I like to stay that way too, and that's part of the fun. But I do keep a spreadsheet after it's done, you know, startup auction, especially to track my team and to kind of keep track of financial stuff, but not for the auction draft.
Send me all that information.
Yeah.
Somebody always posts, hey, this is what every player went for, and I'm like, thank you for doing that. That's so nice of you.
See, my spreadsheet is pretty much for my team now, so that I know it's like 3 years out. It has all the contracts in it. I know how much money I have to spend in the free agent draft and all that stuff. But during the draft, it's definitely flexible. I don't have any set prices anywhere. But once I do get somebody, then it shows me how much money I've left and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
oh yeah, for salary caps, I mean I guess I don't prepare for those with any kind of spreadsheet, but it's, since I'm the commissioner, I have everybody's
exactly
everybody's tracked on a Google sheet because I'm the one in charge of it.
So. Yeah, and I don't prepare it. I don't prepare it. It's just been there for the last 8 years. It's sitting there. So well, listen, thank you so much for coming on and doing this. It was a lot of fun. I hope that it opened some eyes to some people out there to do auction drafts and auction leagues, because it really is a lot of fun. And there is so many different ways to do it. And I know Jeremy mentioned that you're going to come back on later with us I'm sorry, Jeremy, who else was coming on?
Scott Fish. Ryan McDowell. Hopefully they all said they could, but we have to set up a date. But yeah, for commissioning and league setups, because all three of those guys do some pretty cool things with league settings. I think it's going to be good advice for people that want to maybe start some new dynasty leagues, and new people and vets alike, just how to keep things interesting in your dynasty bedroom. I'm just kidding. I mean, just honestly, like, whatever.
So it was good to
let's talk real fast about doing it blind, since you mentioned doing it. That may have sounded wrong. It came out wrong.
But it was perfect.
Because I was always such a proponent of the auction, and I was like, auction, 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 auction. Never draft, never draft. And then Peter Gant and FF Ghost and I were chatting, and we were like, what if we did this? And by this, I mean the blind bid startup, which you guys took part on.
I didn't.
Now, like, okay, so I've made the comparison, like, draft is, you know, fun. I think I referred to it as like a circus, and, you know, whatever. It's fun. But then you do the auction, and it's like, okay, well, now you're on the high wire with that nice net over you or under you. You know, still scary. There's a little bit of safety in an auction.
Safe, yeah.
Spreadsheets.
Are you talking about Fog of War?
Yes, then we did Fog of War, the blind bid startup.
Oh, my God.
I winged that whole thing, and I was like, this is going to be a learning experience for me. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is insane.
So I compared that one to being shot out of the human cannonball at the circus. And like landing on, you know, bricks or something. You're not even being shot into a net. You're obviously being shot to death. So that was
that's
for
crazy.
What Fog of War was basically what we did with that. And this is now the kind of startup that has me even a little bit more intrigued than auctions, because drafts are unfair because somebody inherently has an advantage at the beginning. They have
randomly,
the most valuable asset.
Yeah.
Yeah, randomly. If you're going to do a draft, you better decide the 101 based on anything other than random. I don't care if you
like the Kentucky Derby way of doing it.
That's Well, even that, better, somebody gets the first choice.
Yeah, someone still gets it, yeah.
Yeah, but they get the first choice, but they may pick 12 or 1 or 6 or whatever. Yeah,
to pick 12, but do it based on some sort of competition. Arm wrestle for it. I don't care. Play cornhole, play poker. Literally do anything to determine it. Pick TV shows and get ratings for them. I don't care what you do.
That's awesome.
Don't ever make it random, somebody getting the best.
I agree with you there. I totally agree with you there on startups, yeah.
So then the auction, you know, that levels the playing field a lot, but there's still ways that there are little advantages in the auction based on mostly experience and stuff like that. Man, the blind bid, none of us knew what we were doing. And that, I want
you to document the disparity between players' pricing, because there were a couple of times when players were several dollars apart, and somebody got a player for a nickel and somebody else paid $5. You're like,
that's funny. That's awesome. So,
what we did is basically every night, certain number of players would unlock. I think it was 14. The first week or two, you know, week and a half, whatever it was, 14 players would unlock, and everybody could put in a bid for those guys. You just submitted it, just like, you know, waivers. You went in, you submitted your bid on the guys, and then that waiver report ran, and you saw. And this was a 4-copy league, so
you saw who
won the highest copy player. You saw who won the lowest copy player. But never during that auction, I don't think anybody ever felt like they had a handle on the bidding or the pricing, because there were a few times where like one player would come up with like a razor thin margin, and I mean everybody was like, how did that happen? But so if you're looking for something even a little bit more than auctions, go to try a blind bid one.
That's crazy.
Don't be like me and forget at least 3 times to actually bid on players those nights, because you're going to miss out on a lot.
That's crazy. Yeah, and you have to really
save money.
Yeah, you really have to be on it for a draft like that. Well, thank you very much, John. We really appreciate everything. And do you want to plug anything before you go tonight?
Go join the Eliminators. Fantasy. I look for hashtag FC Eliminators on Twitter. You'll find... So me tweeting about them often, you'll find others tweeting about them sometimes. you go to my pinned tweet and you can see the entire list of available celebrities. You know, and I know that Ziggler and Hellickson listen to this podcast.
Sweet.
Guess what? They're participating this year, folks. Go sign up and try and eliminate them.
Yeah, those are like pro athletes.
That's awesome.
Major League Baseball players, go for it. Go sign up and take them on.
Terrific.
Both good guys, but you can beat them.
Well, wow. Thank you very much.
Let's not go too far. I mean, good guys.
I thought you were
going to
say beat
him. That's what I thought he was going to go. I thought he was going with the beat him part. But
that was the obvious part of
this. Thank you very much, John, and we'll talk to you later on. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, brother.
So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. So before we go, we wanted to... Oh, speaking of which, we're going to do a Patreon show, but we never talked about the Patreon at the beginning of the show.
Well, we could probably tell people now.
Yeah.
Hey, if you haven't heard enough of our sexy voices, get to become a patron. Get the bonus podcast, the uncensored version of this podcast, where you hear just some ungodly things, some phrases that will disprove your faith in man.
Shane, we talk about doing it blind in the bedroom or something.
Yeah, we're doing it blind in the bedroom.
Oh, John is still here, actually, guys.
That's behind the curtain. We're actually going to get Glowboy. We're also going to get Glowboy Guac to come on our Patreon episode, because we get superstars on that show. That's all I'm saying. You know, we get John Bosch of John Bosch Incorporated. I don't know. I got nothing.
Use that email anymore. That's the thing.
That's so funny.
On my PayPal, which is awful. Go on. Sorry.
But other than that, and then like we said earlier, go sign up to become a subscriber to Dynasty Football Factory if you ever want to read my work again. Suck it.
And go check out our Twitter account at Dynasty Trades HQ, and check out our iTunes. Give us a rate and review, please, because we all know how much Shane loves that, and so do Jeremy and I. Oh, and also, hey, aren't we going to be somewhere where people could come meet us? Where is that?
Midwest Fantasy Football Expo, the Midwest FF Expo. Bob Lung started out in Canton, Ohio. It's this year, the first time ever, on Sunday, August 18th, from noon to 6 p.m.
I think it's $25 to get in. 32 booths from all across the fantasy football industry. A lot in the Midwest, of course, Ohio. There's a podcast stage, a main stage for speakers, panel discussions. Come meet people, talk about fantasy football. It's only $25, but you can save $5 off of your admission ticket using our code, and our code is TradesHQ. Probably all caps, TradesHQ. If you need information on how to get to the website, because it's kind of long, let us know, and we'll just tweet at us, and we'll get that information to you. I think you can actually get there at just MidwestFFExpo.com, MidwestFF for Fantasy Football Expo.com, and the code TradesHQ gets you $5 off your admission ticket.
Yeah, come see us. We're going to take pictures, do autographs. I know our good buddy Russ, Dynasty Outhouse, said he's going to wear his Dynasty Trades HQ shirt. He said he's going to come and he's going to cosplay as Shane. So he said he's going to spend the next month practicing his perfect Shane. So everybody come out and see us. We'll have a lot of fun and hang out there for the day. And thanks for listening, and check out our Patreon account. We're going to get ready to do a Patreon show with John Bosch, who happens to be still sitting in the room. So good night, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.
See you next week.
Was I supposed to leave and come back?
No.
You're ruining the illusion. We like to create illusions of... You're just ruining everything, John.
Illusions of grandeur, dude.
Say good night, Shane.
Good night, Shane.
Bye. Good night, Shane.